And we, at this particular moment in time as a church, we need to pray that God will spare us, that God will give us another time. It doesn't mean that we can't go into persecution and before the rapture comes. That doesn't say that. Maybe that's going to happen now so that we can get ready and God can take out all those carnal Christians out of the church and have the real church.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Raul Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Today's lesson continues our focus on end times prophecy. Exploring the rise and reign of the Antichrist, Raul will challenge you to stand as a living witness of the gospel. We hope you'll follow along today to see that while Jesus will rescue his followers from the world's final tribulation, those who remain will endure global terror. We need to warn others and point them to Christ while there's still time. Let's listen as Raul Reese begins today's teaching.
The coming deceiver. In Daniel chapter 11, verses 36 to 44, as we conclude chapter 11. But these verses describe the frightening reign of this Antichrist that is coming. Who knows if he's alive already? But surely we see the Antichrist spirit. John the Beloved in 1 John spoke about this in chapter 2. He said that in the last days there would be an Antichrist spirit that would be leading. But also there would be a person that would become the Antichrist and his assistant called the false prophet that would promote him. And when you look at the world, it's a mess. A mess. The governments of the world are totally frightening with power. Everybody wants to rule over people. But people want to rule sometimes like the Antichrist wants to rule. He wants to be the only ruler. He wants to guide everybody. He wants to talk to everybody. He wants everybody to not only do what he says or else. That we're always or else. This will happen. And we shouldn't take it lightly. Just like we know that the Antichrist will come, but we won't be here. But those people that will be left behind will be here for the Antichrist. They should worry. Because it will not be a nice time. And yet the real church, when you look at the real church, is going to preach Jesus Christ. Paul the Apostle in Philippians 1:21 said, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is to gain." That's what I want on my tombstone. For me to live is Christ, but to die is to gain. There is nothing else apart from Jesus Christ. I don't know how people can live without Christ when Christ becomes everything in my life. And this section is a fulfillment of prophecy. A fulfillment of prophecy. We've been studying the past. We're now in the present, looking to the future as we look at the scriptures. This is going to summarize details on Daniel 70 week that is given to us when the Antichrist comes, the last 7 years of world history. Those last 7 years of world history cannot really come until the church is taken to heaven. And to understand that the last week we studied Antiochus Epiphanes, he was a type of the Antichrist. He was so bad that the Antichrist will be worse. He'll make him look like a little baby, what the Antichrist is going to be doing. So we have this transition that we're going to see in chapter 11. Let's begin by looking at verse 36 to 39, the wickedness of the Antichrist, his impudence. He will blaspheme God in unthinkable and unheard ways you've never, ever heard in your life. He starts out in verse 36. He says, "Then the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god," small little g, "shall speak blasphemies against the big G, God of gods, and shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished, for what has been determined shall be done. So we have here not only the beginning of the Antichrist in his ministry. At this point, prophecy turns to describe the actions of a king. Not the King of Kings, but the king by the name of the Antichrist. The Antichrist that will rule, will govern the world. As you begin to see there again in verse 1, then the king shall do according to his own will. You're controlled by your will. We're all controlled by will. I'm going to do what I say, or you're going to do what I say, or else. And I think we need to get that picture because we're living in dangerous days where pastors could be arrested. Eventually, pastors can be put in jail and probably maybe even put away for life, or maybe get rid of them somehow. People are afraid of what could happen. And here in chapter 11, beginning with this verse, he's really explaining to us what is going to take place here. He's going to accomplish his purposes, his will, as he says here. He will not listen and he will not obey anybody. He will have an assistant called the false prophet in Revelation chapter 13. You can see that. Secondly, we see here in this verse that he will claim deity. Deity, I am God, and there is no other God. He shall exalt and magnify himself above every god, small g, every god that's in this world. And it says, and shall prosper, and shall prosper until the wrath has been accomplished. I want you to underline the word wrath. This is a very important word. It's not the normal word wrath. The word wrath here is for the 70th week of Daniel, the tribulation period. So there's no mistake. The last 7 years of world history, we call it the 70th week of Daniel. And shall prosper till the wrath has been accomplished. Notice that. The Lord will not come until this is accomplished. That is his second coming. The rapture has to take place. That's not the second coming. Paul taught it in the book of 1 Corinthians. He taught it chapter 15. He taught it in the book of Thessalonians chapter 4, 13 through 18. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. And you go on and on and on. Revelation chapter 4. And you go on and you see what God promised the church. We're not going to be here. But listen, we need to warn people. We need to warn people. If there was a time to sound the trumpet, it's this morning, today. Today is a day to sound that trumpet. Because we really don't know what's happening. We think we know, but we really don't know. Verse 37, he shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above every one of them. Every one of them. He says, number one, that he shall regard neither the God of his fathers nor the desire of women. He could be a homosexual. We don't know that for a fact. But he's not going to like women. Somehow he doesn't need to be in an intimate relationship with anybody. He's going to rule. He's going to govern. The God of his fathers. Some have said that maybe he's talking about being Jewish, not Gentile. Because he says, the God of his fathers. He goes on and he says, he shall regard neither the God of his fathers, nor desire the women, nor regard any God, for he shall exalt himself above all of them. So we see, secondly here, nor regard any God, which means he is irreligious. He has no faith. No faith at all. He will control the whole world and have an assistant called the false prophet. He will try to rule over the Jews, believe me, at a point where he says, listen, I am your Messiah. And then try to kill the Jews. is going to fight against Russia as they try to invade Israel. We'll see that later on. It's interesting that he says here again, nor regard any god, for he shall exalt himself above them all. So he's not ashamed to say, I am the greatest. Worship me. If you don't bow down to me, you're going to be a dead. I'm going to put you to death. It's like the Caesars. You say Jesus is Lord, or you say Caesar is Lord.
This is Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. It's our joy to support and equip you on your journey with Christ. Coming up in April of 2024, Pastor Raul and his wife Sharon and their son Ryan would like to invite you on a trip to the beautiful land of Israel. Don't miss this exciting opportunity to see your Bible come to life. For more information, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com. Now let's get back to the conclusion of today's teaching, The Coming Deceiver.
Verse 38, 39, his idolatry, he will worship the God of the fortresses. You see, he worships a God of the fortresses. That's another person that is going to be working with him. That's going to be working with him. But in their place, he shall honor a God of fortresses, which is a God of army, a God of infantry. Maybe the weaponry that he'll have, that he'll buy, he will try to rule with all these weaponry that he'll be getting to fight against the world and the nations. But in their place, he shall honor the God of fortresses, a God which his fathers did not know. He shall honor with gold and silver and blessed things. So he has a lot of money. Weapons are expensive. Weapons are very expensive. But he has the money to buy them. And yet, he's going to be having a cashless society. Interesting. But in their place, he shall honor a God of fortresses. The word fortresses here is used 5 times in this chapter. In verse 7, verse 10, verse 19, verse 31, and verse 34. Again, the word also fortress is a symbol of power. And will be rebuilt by who? By Satan. Be rebuilt by Satan. He will be ruled by Satan also. And then a God which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver. We notice that his God, notice, is a God of gold and silver. He'll make everyone, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, to receive a mark in the back of the right hand or the forehead, the number 666, 3 sixes. We don't know if it's going to be the number or it's going to be a mark or a little chip. We don't know that. We know they're experimenting already in chips. They did it on animals. They did it on animals. They'll do it on human beings eventually. They'll keep everything. All you have to be scanned and that's it. A God of which his fathers did not know, he shall honor with gold and silver. And advance in his glory. See, he likes the glory. He wants to be praised. He wants to know, I am the greatest. No one else is like me. And then he said, and he shall cause them to rule over many. And divide the land for gain. And here he's talking again for the 10 nations they will be ruling. He will rule over many, but he will divide the land for gain. I'll give you this land, but you got to give back so much to me. Always looking in interest. He says in verse 40. And at that time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him. That's Egypt. And the king of the north, who's that? Russia, the king of the north. Nor shall come against him like a whirlwind with the chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through them. Notice that. Antichrist hears of this great invasion. He will not only move his army from Europe to the Middle East, but as he becomes involved, as Russia is trying to invade Israel, and God intervenes and the actual Antichrist is taken out before anything, and then God wipes out the Russian army and those that come with him. He says in verse 40 again, in the time of the end, the king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind with chariots and horsemen, tanks and whatever else nuclear weapons they have, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. You see, ships, they're in the Mediterranean Sea. And then he says this. Again, and at that time of the end, he's talking about the ends of times, the time of the Gentiles come to an end. Remember, it started in Babylon, and it's going to end at the time that the Antichrist enters into that position. The time of the Gentiles will be done. He says, secondly, the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind. Again, I said, Russia, Ezekiel 38:39, this coalition of the northern nations. Incredible. When you begin to see, wow, I've read this, and here it is, and now I got to believe it. Do I have faith to believe it? Look around. How can you not believe it when these nations are in power today? I wonder what's going to happen to the United States of America, because we're not in prophecy. We're not named. I wonder, could it be that America one day will be overtaken? It will become like the rest of the nations, governed by other people, which it could happen. And we, at this particular moment in time as a church, we need to pray that God will spare us, that God will give us another time. Because it doesn't mean that we can't go into persecution and before the rapture comes. That doesn't say that. Maybe that's going to happen now so that we can get ready and God can take out all those carnal Christians out of the church and have the real church so he can come for his real church that is going to worship him in spirit and in truth. And I can see that happening. Little by little it's happening, and it will happen. And then he says, with chariots and horsemen, and with many ships, modern technology, all the new jets they have, all the tanks, all, I mean, they have everything you could imagine. China has rockets that can hit us, missiles. Right now, nobody is safe. Not even them. Nobody's safe. You know who's safe? The church is safe. We're safe. Because Jesus belongs to us. And he said he would watch over us. Yes, we can go through persecution. Yes, we got trials and temptations. But God always protects his people. Always. That's why he's bringing the rapture. To take you out of this world. So you don't have to go through those days with 180 pounds of hail falls from the sky. These animals, these demons that are let out of the Euphrates River, the Tigris River over in Iraq. They're there today. And they're going to be let out in the tribulation period. And they're going to go out and there's going to be scorpions that are going to sting people for 5 months and they can't die. Take a gun and blow your head off, you can't die. Read the book of Revelation. I mean, it's heavy. People don't take it literally. And now here, Daniel, warning. Verse 41, again he says, he shall also enter the glorious land. Where's the glorious land? Israel. He's going to enter Israel. And many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand. Who's that? Israel. God's going to protect Israel, protect his people. And he says, and these shall escape from his land, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. That's Jordan next door to Israel. The Jordanians, all those there. That at one time in the Old Testament, they were enemies of Israel in the Old Testament. So he shall also enter the glorious land, Israel. He will find trouble there, also with Edom, Moab, and Ammon, and will overthrow those countries. And secondly, but he shall escape from his hand. Notice the Antichrist, they will escape. And who knows how is that going to happen, but it says here they will escape. And he shall stretch out his hand against these countries. Notice, his hand stretched out his hand against his countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall stretch out his hand, but Egypt shall not escape. The reason for that is because the north also of Egypt is Africa. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also the Libyans, Ethiopians, see Africa, shall flow at his heels. Notice that he will rule them. He shall have power, control over the world. The Antichrist will strike. And then verse 44, but news from the east and the north shall trouble him. Therefore, he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many, to get rid of many people. The Antichrist hears. He has ears to hear. You notice that the east, from the east, that the north shall trouble him. Who's that? Again, Magog, Russia. Incredible. And therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and to annihilate many. But guess what happens? He can do it. He can do it. And he shall plant the tents of his place between the seas, the Mediterranean and the other side, and the glorious holy mountain. Who's that? There in Jerusalem. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. Guess what? His end is where? In the lake of fire. The Antichrist, the false prophet, the devil, hell, and anyone that is not written book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. So what do we have to do? Well, we need to wait for Jesus to come for sure, according to 1 Corinthians 1:7. Secondly, I thought this was pretty nice. We look for his coming. We never give up. According to Titus 2:13, we keep looking. Thirdly, we be ready when he comes. Matthew 24:42 to 51. You gotta be ready. You don't wanna be left behind. Can you imagine what it must be like being in Calvary Chapel for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, and then you hear that people have gone and you're not going anywhere? That would be an empty feeling. No movie can really describe what is going to take place. The real thing.
It is sobering to know that one day Jesus will return for those who have chosen him, while those who reject him will endure the Antichrist's global terror. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Ries. If you'd like to hear today's message again, we'll be happy to send you a complete version for a donation of $5 or more. Just call us at 800-634-9165 and mention today's teaching titled, The Coming Deceiver. Now, to challenge you in boldly sharing the gospel, we'd like to offer you Raul's entire End Time series, now available on a convenient MP3 thumb drive. This 40-lesson study takes a comprehensive look at God's sovereign plans for the world's future. As you think about his perfect justice and saving mercy, you'll see that you can be instrumental in guiding others to Christ before his triumphant appearance in the clouds. Visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165 to order Raul's eye-opening 40-message prophecy series. We'll send your USB drive for a gift of $45 or more. That's 800-634-9165. Our mailing address, if you'd like to order by writing us, is Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. This is a listener-supported ministry, and we are thankful for your partnership. Your tax-deductible gifts help us share the good news of Jesus through these programs. Join us next time for a faith-building look at the fulfillment of God's promise to restore the nation of Israel. You'll see that just as the Lord symbolically breathed life back into the dry bones of his chosen people, he can fill you with the renewing power of his Holy Spirit. Here's Raul now with a closing comment.
Fourthly, we keep busy until he comes, doing God's perfect will until he comes. Luke 19:13-18. I like this one. We keep praying. We keep praying for his coming. Because he is going to come. Revelation 22:20, we keep praying, "Behold, I come quickly," he said. "Behold, I come quickly." And when he comes quickly, he says what? "I have my reward for you. I have my reward for you." So we as the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we need to be on our toes. We need to be praying. We need to be faithful. We need to be holy as he is holy. And we need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people that need Christ today. I mean, if there was an open door, it is today. Today is the day of salvation. And God will bless you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.